Okay, it's
Is
recording
it?
now. It is.
I just
Okay.
did it.
All right. Yeah. Hello, everybody. It's this is National Liberty Alliance call for the courtroom observers. This is February 3rd, 2016, and Carl can't be here tonight. So, and I don't really have much new because I mean everything is still up on the call to action page and the courtroom observer protocol page. I pretty much went over that last week, and so I don't have anything new that was added on there yet, but whenever I do, I announce it, and I'm always enhancing those pages if, you know, things come up. So does anybody have any courtroom observer experiences that they've had lately, or any cases they want to talk about?
Good evening.
Yeah, I do.
Hi. Okay.
I think someone was chiming in there. Yeah, let whoever was going first go ahead.
Elena?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you have something? Elena?
Hello? Do you hear me? I'm
yeah,
Elena.
I can hear you. Uh-huh.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I can wait if somebody wants to talk before me.
Okay. All right, who was the other person?
That was
it was a man that wanted
it was
Patrick
from New York.
Patrick.
Speak to us, Patrick.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I just unmuted there. So, yeah, I wanted to talk about a case if we could.
Yeah, and just a sec. I just got disconnected on the panel.
I'm
still.
Take a screenshot of it, store it in Word, date it,
okay.
Time it.
Okay. But go ahead, Patrick.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you. The case that I'm dealing with here in Northern New York, I missed the get lost on Tuesday. One thing was canceled.
I didn't really get
right?
more than four words out of that. Did anybody else hear anything?
I know it's
no,
that you're
it's
breaking
up.
I just wonder, it just sure seems like a lot of interference tonight because I just got an error. It's telling me to log out. And it was it was really hard to get on the call, and now it sounds like it's hard to hear what Patrick is even saying. Patrick, why don't you try again and see if we can understand it? I'm not connected to the internet, it says.
Well, I can hear you. You might as well log out and reopen the panel again.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. So, Patrick, you want to keep going?
Hey, I'm back.
Yep, you sound better.
Okay, good.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was trying to talk about the habeas corpus petition and the affidavit that I sent in.
Yeah.
I didn't get a chance to talk with Linda about it because of everything that's been happening in Oregon. But I have a court date scheduled for Friday. And I don't know if you guys are open to talk about cases on tonight's call or if that's not okay. Just let me know.
Well, not exactly. Legalities. Not about legalities. We can talk about courtroom observances.
Okay. Yeah, but so there's the court date is scheduled for Friday, 9 a.m. And the court date is in regards to, you know, them taking our van, you know, driving without a license. The whole case that's been going on for over a year and a half now. They've had our van for over a year and a half, and I'm looking for people to come show up because they've been prolonging this for way longer than their own rules and all that. So, and they're trying to deny that they have $5,000 that we paid them. We have the receipt for it, and they keep changing the court date. They dismissed the charges, and they brought them back up. So I got an email from the guy who they keep trying to assign as counsel, and I keep denying counsel and saying I'm just here to defend myself. And this guy told me that on Friday that the court has canceled it again with no explanation, but I'm still going to go because I think what's happening is they told me at the last time I went to the court that they're going to, if I don't show up, they're going to move on the case without me. And they kept emphasizing that. And so what they did to us before is they threatened us with trespass charges if we came to the court, and they would not in the courtroom because I had a service animal. So because of all these things, they charged me a year later with failure to appear in court, 10 days solitary confinement, $5,000 fine. So basically, I'm going back in there and trying to get this money back because it doesn't belong to me. It's someone else's money that got me out. And so I'm still going to show up on Friday. And if anybody can make it, that's anywhere around that, it's not going to cost you too much or it's not going to be too much of a burden, I'm still going to show up and with as many witnesses as possible to just witness. Because here's the thing. They sent me a letter in the mail to my general post address. I went to the post office, picked up the letter. It said, you know, who the acting judge was. He scheduled the court date for Friday. And to my objection, you know, because I've been challenging jurisdiction and everything. So it's scheduled for this Friday at 9 a.m. in Ogdensburg City Court. And they never sent me a letter canceling. They sent me a letter scheduling, but they never sent me a letter canceling. So I think they're trying to get me to, I don't know, in a roundabout way, consent to taking the attorney's word for it and just not showing up, and by doing so, abandoning the money and having them move forward with the case without me there. Because I have not got a letter to this date from the court stating that it's been canceled or postponed. So that's kind of just what I had to share.
Do you have a courtroom observer request in?
Yes, I filled out a courtroom observer request probably 4 days ago. Five or six days ago.
Then I'm going to send out another one tomorrow or as a reminder so that I've already sent it out before.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have it in.
More than likely, it's just going to be a quick thing because they've got a lot of stuff going on around out here. Like in the county, the district attorney is dealing with a murder case, and they just rescheduled it, and then they canceled it, and then they let a guy out. They've got a lot going on. So more than likely, they did cancel it. But if they can move on it without me there and do a quick, easy case and make a quick $5,000 and say, oh, I never showed up, they're going to do that. But if I'm there, it might only be a 10-minute situation where they said, oh, no, we'll just contact you. You never got a letter? No. Okay. So I have five or six witnesses that show up and say, yeah, we saw what happened, you know.
Right.
And
has anybody, did anybody call you and say they were going to, you didn't get any call from anybody?
I had one email from some, I don't remember the name because I'm on a walk right now, but someone emailed me asking about details, and I just told them it's just the city court. It's at 9 a.m. on Friday. There's no more other details than that. I mean, I can send them the affidavit if they want it. I can send them I sent a 20-page, like, listing everybody that in the complaint, a kind of an open letter explaining what's happened up until the point of the affidavit, and then I did the affidavit and had it notarized and everything, and I paid the $60 to help with, certified mailing costs and whatever, and I got all that done, but for some reason, it's not to Linda standards, So I don't really, I listened to the audio, the 2-hour phone call audio that talked about the issues with the affidavit. And I know that mine's kind of lengthy and it's got different wording in it that talks about, you know, stuff I've learned about this whole like status stuff, but that's not part of the affidavit. The affidavit is its own document. And then in the ending part of it, I listed everyone who was involved in the criminal conspiracy out here that's been going on with my family and I. And I listed them in all the trespasses and everything they've done wrong and stated that for the Oregon case. So maybe I did too much. I usually overdo things. So I probably said too much, but I can't really pinpoint exactly what's wrong with my affidavit and the whole process. But so I can send that to anybody who wants to read it and get a background on everything. Because I know when I get the things for the call to action and I only get very brief details about what's happened, I'm really uneasy about calling because I'm not sure like what exactly has happened up to the point of the case in court. And so when I call, I feel really ill-equipped to call and ask questions because I don't know the story.
Right.
So if anybody wants the email, they can send me an email. It's the email is just Patrick Christian Hansen, HNSEN, @gmail.com. You can send me an email if you want more information about what's happened. I can send you the documents that I just sent out to I still have a little bit of hope that there are some men and women that work in government agencies that will do the right thing. So I sent out roughly 150 letters to different investigative agencies and that might do something.
Right.
So I can send everybody what I sent out.
What I can do about that thing, but it sounds like what you need is some witnesses so they can do their affidavits on your behalf for what they're doing in the court. And I know that I've heard this from other people. They're trying to confuse people about the time that their court date is so they can get them in default.
Yeah.
And then the other tactic they're doing is, especially if they know you have courtroom observers, they're screwing around with the time. So of the day, they'll go, oh, it's at this time. No, it's later. No, it's this and that, or it's, you know.
Yeah.
So we're telling people to, if they're going to, you know, support somebody that they really might think they're going to have to think of it as a day if possible because of that.
And it's one of those things where they're going to just try and exhaust resources. So I'm asking anybody that's close enough that can afford to come, but don't go out of your way to spend unnecessarily resources that you could use on something more important. Because it might only be a 10-minute thing. And then I'm going to ask anybody that comes if they have the time to fill out an affidavit of what they witnessed, you know, and that's all. I mean, I don't expect anybody to write any detailed report about who these people are, what they're doing, just what they witnessed. And then that way it's not like the whole experience was for nothing, because now we have more affidavits, more statements of truth and fact that prove that this court is acting dishonorably. They're acting criminal because they're changing court dates and prolonging something that should not be happening. They're just trying to exhaust the resources of the people and demoralize them. And by doing so, getting them to give up or become disheartened and just, you know, accept whatever they're trying to do. So.
Right. So that's the other thing about, you know, what we're doing is we're collecting evidence for later date too, in case, you know, because a lot of people aren't really getting the courts to act on their behalf or their favor, because it really doesn't have anything to do with justice. And so you're collecting evidence so that when we get in the courts as the common law grand jury, we can make restitution for you.
Right. I'm not, to be honest with everyone, I'm not looking really for restitution. I mean, I did, I, I put a fee schedule on public record a year or two ago.
Now you're in the fiction. I want you to know.
Right, right.
You're in the fiction. And well, really, actually, okay, we're really going too far with this discussion.
Okay.
I don't want us to be construed as giving legal advice. And when you said what you just said, it sounds like you're mixing oil and water all along the way here. And keeping in mind, the NLA does not recommend, in fact, urges people get your driver's license, pay your insurance, stay out of jail right now, we'll take care of it later. Well, we're not going to ditch you. We're going to try to help. But I'll tell you, if you've done half the things you said you've done, you've been labeled a sovereign, and you're probably a dead man. Because that's what they do to them.
Not literally.
No, I don't mean literally. Not, you know, if I could think of a way for you to get out of it by paying something, I mean, paying something twice is not fair, especially when you're talking $5,000. But, you know, you need to get this put behind you. If it were a $500 fine, I'd say pay it, get it done, deal with it later. But it's
right.
Not.
Well, that's the thing. I tried to pay a year and a half ago, and they didn't want me to pay. They wanted me to go through the whole procedure in court and plead guilty and do this whole court thing where they could slap on a heftier fine. And I said, I just want to pay whatever you say I owe you right now and get it done and over with. And if I could have done away with this a year and a half ago and settled it, I would have. My license was not taken. I did not pursue this myself. It happened because of the way the system is set up. A state trooper never showed up for court. So what happened in court was that it was done. And so later I found out that my license was suspended. Then I tried to go deal with it and just, cause I understand that it's not required, but it's not, I've got bigger fish to fry. I shouldn't be spending my time dealing with a license. So I figured whatever, I'll go pay it. So I talked to the Department of Motor Vehicles, and they told me I was going to have to pay some $500 fine and $100 every month for the rest of my life. And it was some crazy amount of money. And I was like, you're insane. So that's when I got down and buckled in and really started studying about the right to travel. And I can't even argue my case in court. They won't even let me speak in court. So that's where I'm at. I'm not looking for picking little fights because I know there are people in jail, in prison, and people that lives are on the line. I don't want to tie up resources for something so trivial, but I mean, they're not treating like it's a trivial matter. They're throwing me in prison, solitary confinement. And I know other people are in longer periods, but I mean, I'm just trying to do what I can do with my family and take care of my own and try and help in any way I can. I mean, if there's anybody within, I mean, I can buy a bus ticket and go to anybody's court date within this area around Ogdensburg. If anybody needs help with anything, just call on me at any time.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to make sure that I know, you know, in this whole process of learning the truth and studying law, you come across a lot of stuff that's nonsense. And that's why I was saying, you know, I'm not looking for money. I'm looking for peace. I'm just tired of this. And I want to be able to help other people and invest my time wisely.
Right.
Yeah, just so you know, the email did go out.
Are you still on here, Elena? Because she's in New York. She's
yeah,
near
she's,
you,
you're,
I think.
She's on.
In Manhattan?
Yes, I'm here.
We're talking about.
Elena.
Yes.
So is this
you hear
Patrick?
Me?
Patrick, is this in New York? Where in New York is this?
It's Northern New York.
Northern New York.
At
home. Oh, okay.
Like far north, like really far north. I'm up
okay.
past Albany, past Watertown.
That's like 5-6 hours north of Manhattan. That's on paperwork.
I'm sorry, I cannot. It's my you received the email from me, but it's too far and I cannot. I don't have a car.
Right.
And,
I just realized that. That's okay. That's all right. So
yeah.
Well, we'll just, you know, you said you had Patrick. You said you had somebody that got in touch with you and said that they could be there. So I'm going to send out another reminder. So tomorrow. So
It's also case number 3 on the call to action.
Yes. They mailed us from me that one.
Okay, so Patrick, can we move on to Elena now, or?
Yeah, that's I'm good. Yeah, thank you guys very much.
All right, Elena.
Yes. Okay. I received a letter from Judge. Chief. Do you hear me? Because I cannot hear you very well. From the Chief Judge of the Supreme Court of New York, Judge Moulton, which says he cannot replace the judge which is designed for my case Monday, actually the judge who abandoned my case and now is back in my case, because I can read from the letter. Judge Moulton do not have any authority to intervene regarding Justice George Silver handling your case, particularly where the defendant is not copied on the correspondence submitted to the court. In general, the court cannot act an ex parte application. The court complained, I didn't serve defendant State Farm Insurance with a copy of the letter sent to the judge. And yesterday, I went in court and I filed an answer at the judge letter where I say the defendant attorney State Farm Insurance, defendant State Farm Insurance attorney, was served by email and mail, and I have proof of service, and I attach the proof of service and the proof that they were served. I will see what happened Monday. Anyway,
okay,
I don't... Sorry, okay. Yeah.
That's when your case is on Monday.
I cannot hear you.
Your case is on Monday.
Yes.
Okay.
I hope they do not.
Next, or?
Do you have any witnesses that are going to go there?
So far, nobody. Nobody said. Nobody contacted me.
Now, did you have somebody that went with you before, though, right?
Yes, before with Sarah and another gentleman.
Can they? Are you in touch with them?
I will. Yes, I have the phone number, and I will. And the email.
Okay. If they can help you again, that would be great.
Yes, I hope Sarah will not have... will come with me and will not have the same experience.
Oh, she was trying to film, right?
Yes, yeah. No, she tried to make a picture with her cell phone.
Oh, right, I remember that. Yeah,
and,
so she just a little more low profile, I guess, and so to write it all down. And so everybody's seen that, you know, we're get their free, if on the courtroom observer protocol on number 3, you know, there's a link to get a free press pass.
Very good. Bravo. It's really very good what that I read, and it's very interesting. And very
it is.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
I did. And it's cheap. At Staples cost only $2.60 to laminate.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you finished, Elena?
Yes, I finish. And if someone wants to come with me, please contact me, and I will be really very happy. It's mediation.
Right.
I hope to finish in good condition. Actually, is the desire of State Farm Insurance to have this judge. Actually, they want a lawyer to replace me, and I don't accept a lawyer.
Right. So,
And then in the meantime, I wrote a claim to Attorney General regarding the state of farm insurance criminal acts, because disappeared from the court some motions, some documents from my file. And even I sent to the Attorney General Loretta Link with certificate of mailing. My claim disappeared, and I sent again with delivery confirmation. Right. So the situation is a little bit. They abuse the court. They abuse me, and now they try a kind of mediation. I don't know in which condition.
Right. Okay. Does anybody else have anything to share
comment,
with us?
Comment, question, oh. Jen. God is love.
Okay.
I want people, if people could go to the call page there, that call to action page.
Uh-huh.
Where Patrick was speaking about his case, I believe that was Patrick with the automobile. Yeah, number three. Mm-hmm. When people go to fill out, like, call court information, someone needs to screen what's being written, maybe reword it, maybe get something on there that, what does this person actually want us to do? It says, If you request members to make phone calls on court date to court, please show up if at all possible. Well, that's what court observers are supposed to do. They are supposed to show up or make phone calls. So it says, I will have witness statements for everyone to fill in. In essence, the court observers that show up need to be prepared and should know how to fill out affidavits. And I think it would be good somewhere along the line to fine-tune exactly what Linda wants us to do with these affidavits, because I, for one, is not too clear, and there's others that aren't too clear, and we want an outline as to A to Z. There is some instruction there, but even with the some instruction, there's some people that still would like their hands held and get it down. Because just like Patrick said, you know, I send out my affidavit and it's not right, and then others I hear say the same thing and over again, and it just botches up the whole system because that affidavit goes in the back of the pile. So is my understanding. So anyways, then it says, I will have witness statements for everyone to fill in. So not witness statements, affidavits. We need to take our notes, get our affidavits done properly according to the standard that NLA would like to have him in, and it will provide copies for your written statement so that I can follow up with getting these criminals out of public office. So the affidavits, three affidavits I suggest, three originals with the crimping, with the signing, and the individual sending would keep one and send out two originals to that individual, exchange your information so that goes smoothly on Skype. Skype one over and mail two over. It says, I do not need anyone causing trouble for me. Well, that's understood. You know, NLA court observers do not intend to cause trouble for anyone. We're out to help. Unfortunately, bad people take good things in a wrong way, and then it looks like trouble. You can ask basic questions about their honesty and integrity in keeping their oath of office. I don't know if this is one of the things that is in the guides that Lori has put together with us, but it could be incorporated as to one of the options. You can ask what their procedure or policy is when reporting intergovernmental corruption. That's not for us to do. The grand jury will do the investigation, and their policies don't work.
Get in there, now. Go. Get in there.
If you can mute, that would be great, who is ever with the doggy. You can ask what their procedure or policy is when reporting intergovernmental corruption. Their corruption is corruption, and those people aren't going to give you anything that will incriminate them. That's why they won't let you have recorders, video or audio or cameras or anything, because they want to protect themselves. They don't want to be in the light. You could ask them when they are going to give back the ransom money and when the court would order. They're not going to tell us that. You know, this Joe Schmo is calling from wherever. When are you going to give this man's money back? I don't know if that's proper or not. When the court would order police to restore our van to their proper working condition. I don't know if that's proper for the court observers to be asking those questions. So I'm saying that is maybe the courtroom observers people, those people that are putting out requests, we should have enough time to look over what does this person want us to do, so that that person can feel like they're being represented by the NLA people properly. I yield to this particular one, and then I want to back up to one prior to that. Any comments on this, please?
Okay, so you were reading both of them?
No. I want to comment on number one after we get done with number three. This was number three. This was Patrick's. What I'm saying is people that are asking the court observers need to give us enough time so that some of the court observers can get on Skype, for example, and say, okay, Patrick wants to ask of us to do this, that, and that. How do we want to post this on the site so that everybody can understand what the mission is? What does want to be accomplished? Because this is not that straightforward, and I don't think that some of the suggestions ought to be used.
Well, I put on there, on the top of the courtroom observer request, and everybody has a different interpretation. I don't see how you can make everybody say exactly what you want them to say, even if you give them really specific instructions. Let me see. So the courtroom observer request, I put.
Yes,
if you want people to call the court, clerk, judge, and sheriff, you need to be very clear and concise about your case that you want us to convey to them. Just listing your rights were violated is not enough for us to help you. You must be more specific. Otherwise, you won't get much action from us because people will not know how to help you. Also, get on the Monday night call for general information and the Wednesday night call for the courtroom observers so you can explain your story to others. The conference, anyway, I just tell you when the conference calls are. And for the if you want to get in the courtroom observer list so that you get all of the notices.
Yeah. What you got there is great. It's perfect. I mean, I love it. What I'm saying is, when this is posted, like Patrick or somebody posted Patrick's stuff on here, we need to look at what he's posting and do we want to modify what he's asking and maybe make a phone call and say, hey, you know, is this what you want some of the courtroom observers to say beyond the guidelines that what we already have? And that's time consuming. So some people might say, well, I just got this 2 days ago type of thing. You know, I mean, yes?
I'd like to make a suggestion about that. I'm not perfect, and I know I make mistakes, and I don't know exactly what to write and what I really want people to do. I just want people to show up. But if there's a way we could set it up to where I can upload the affidavit or a written statement, like upload a PDF or something where people can read about what's been happening, I think that
Skype
would give more of a...
It's called Skype and email.
Right, I'm talking about on the call to action, or the request for courtroom observers.
We don't want to post it until it's a finished product.
Okay. Well, is there any way we could post it as a rough draft or where people can't download it, they can only view it and look at, kind of just kind of get an idea of what's been happening? up to the point
call.
Of. I mean, because I think that would clear up a lot of confusion, and it would.
I would think that the courtroom observers can be Skyped, and Laura can be Skyped, and others that are doing that can be Skyped or emailed, fine-tuned, talk to you, whatever, whoever wants to do that would work best.
Yeah, but the answer is no, you can't post a file.
Right. Thank you. And that's national.
That's a technical restriction.
Right. So, Patrick, what I'm suggesting is, as you be involved in as much as you can, like I talked to Laura, be on the Monday night call, be on a Tuesday night call, be on the Wednesday night call, be on a Thursday night, and there's others, okay? Get involved as much as you can, learn as much as you can, and be able to have your case represented, and so you can be guided to the help that you need. And learn how to word some of the things the way you need to word it. Work with us so that we can work with you, and so that we can beat these people in their unlawful activities, or should I say illegal? Well, they're legal, but they're unlawful because they write their own laws. Okay. So, I mean, I feel for you, you know, because I'm being beat up myself. Lots of people are being beat up. But we need to learn, you know, how to write these papers and how to do it right, and so we're not hindering the process. And so with that, I yield on Patrick, unless Patrick has a comment or counter-comment.
I'm good. I appreciate it, and I'll try and be on more calls and everything. I appreciate the feedback.
Can we look at number one? This week's case, number one?
All right.
Christina. I don't really know what this person wants us to do.
Well, if it's really not obvious as far as calling, they're not going to, I mean, I just say don't call. But if they, and I don't put it in the subject line. If I can't tell what they're, and they don't give me any phone numbers, and they're really, some of them just say no or don't answer it. I don't put call in the subject line. I just say courtroom observers because that's what they were asking for.
Yeah, the call-outs are the most dangerous things you guys can do.
Yep.
And the most extreme caution of what you say and whom you say it to is is advised.
Correct.
Because there are things that you can say that are actionable. Mm-hmm. And we've already been through that before.
Correct. So when this is a blank thing and doesn't say to call, we're going to presume don't call. But if you can show up, show up.
It may be just wise to put in there, this is a show up event, not a call out.
Beautiful. Okay. Laura, we can tweak that form that they're filling out. Is this a call out? Is this a show up? Or is it both?
Yeah, okay. I see what you mean. Right. To make it more clear, do you want us to call, you know,
X, Y, and Z
on your behalf or not?
Right.
And then
call. You know, call who? Okay. A sheriff call. Who do you want us to call? X, Y, and Z. And then we have our script. So, okay, call out or show up or both. Thank you. That's it. Mm-hmm. I yield.
All right, actually, anybody else?
Yeah, I just want to say I thought that was clear already because there's the call information given when they need the calls. That's all I want to say.
That's correct.
Well, I know what you mean. It is there, but it seems like for some people it just needs to be a little more clearer than that. I know.
Yeah, for some people they don't see it. I mean, like the first time I looked at it, it hit me. So if and I'm a little slow, okay? So, but if it hit me like that, there's got to be somebody else that hit like that too. So, and it's only a two-liner or not even a two-liner that would help out. Or in instructions that if there is no, presumed, then there is no call-outs. Thank you.
Right. I'll just make it clear about answering that question, yes or no.
IU.
And like a lot of the calls, I mean, a lot of the requests lately have not been about calling. They just want us to show up. And I have been getting a lot of really interesting emails from people. I'm telling me they're going to support this person or that person. And then I've been hearing some people, I think some people, because of the emails are so detailed too, they're forwarding the emails to people that aren't NLA members, but it's interesting. I think it's getting those people interested in NLA. And they want to have access to the links that I send out, and I really, now I've had to say you have to be logged in to have access to those links, because they won't work if you don't. So anybody else?
Hello? Yes. Do you hear me? I'm Elena. I first of all, it's very, very helpful to have somebody in court. And I will do with pleasure for somebody which is accessible for me. And also, I suggest everyone to finish the... today I finished the Constitution course and constitutional course, and I was very, very impressed because we can learn a lot of stuff, a lot of good things. And it's good to specify if you want to have call or not. For example, me, I didn't understand for case number 1 and 2 if they need call or not. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay,
I finish. Yeah.
Thank you, Elena. That's good.
You are welcome.
Anybody else have any comments or questions?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Hi. This is Crystal. How you doing?
Hi.
How are you? I went to the courts and I got all my transcripts. And, oh, my God. And I've also been bringing the people into the courtroom as court observers. And I tell them to jot everything down. And the way they make up their own laws, there was about almost, I would say, about 30 people that were losing their homes, and it's between the judge and the attorneys. There is no jury, and they are just taking people's homes like, this is my court and I'll do what I want. And the funny thing of it is, this particular judge, I guess he's been the one who's been taking homes illegally along with the attorneys. And he sounds just like Judge Judy. This is my baby. And noticing even these different court shows, there's never no juries, you know? So I got all my transcripts because they want me out of my house by the 12th. Of March, and I have all my copies of my deeds and everything else, you know. And he said,
They won't let you present it, right?
Oh, I did present it, and he says I could cure this. As a matter of fact, when I had, because the attorney lied and said she didn't know on December 14th, I said, well, why am I here when I got the proof and the copies of all my deeds? So the judge said to her, did you know she has a copy of her deeds? She goes, no, Your Honor. And so he said, well, I got to look over the files. And I said, yes, you do know it because I sent you both copies of it. So what had happened, he gave his answer about my foreclosure before we even went there, because she had gave me the letter that on this date, where, you know, the foreclosure and stuff like that, but they didn't know, or they didn't go over it, realize that I had the copies of the deed. So when I went back on the 21st, because I had them back to back, and then he gave me two hearings on the same day, then he lied about that. So when I asked for them to, I want to speak to sworn affidavits from Mr. GY and Mr. GE, no one showed up. So I said, I want this case dismissed because no one showed up. Again, he had ruled in my favor. So we had a court date on the 1st, January 25th. And I bought the transcripts and everything else. And I said, on such and such a date, and I had all my dates and everything accurate, she was all over the place. Her face turned as red as a beet. He goes, I don't care what you have. We're taking it. You know? So when
wow.
I got my transcript today, I said, which is beautiful because it's all in writing, you know? And the thing they left out was December 14th. They wrote the 14th, but they left the month out. When I said, on December 14th, I said, you had my case already decided upon without, you know, hearing it. And so that is in there, but they left out the word December. So, you know, the people were there and they said, look, they left out the word December, which, of course, I knew that was the date because that was my birthday. And so I'm just going to put the whole thing together and get my affidavits and get those in there. But as a matter of fact, one of the bank commissioners, she had called because I said, and I've been also contacted the radio station about it, and I've been telling the radio station, the people all over about the National Liberty Alliance, telling people to log on. I've been to some of the colleges, the different community things, getting all the young people to log on and take their civics course. I was able to contact, Channel NBC and also the radio station, WLIB in New York. So we're getting it out there.
Good, thank you.
But as I said, I worked in that department and stuff like that. My husband was a bank manager, so, you know, the average small, a lot of people didn't know about the mortgages, and I was the one who always did the recordings of the deeds. I did that work for almost 40 years. So, but, I mean, it's unbelievable what's happening here.
It is, because the sheriff's getting a cut, the judge is getting a cut, and the prosecuting attorney's getting a cut.
But they all seem like they're getting a little nervous here. As a matter of fact, I was there last Thursday. Somebody shot in the courthouse.
Somebody what?
Somebody shot a bullet in the courthouse.
You mean a drive-by?
I don't know if it was a drive-by or whatever, but it was funny because I was there that Thursday morning, which I hate going down there. And I guess when I was there and turned on the news, and I'm like, oh, my God. I guess somebody shot a bullet on the, was it, fifth or sixth floor. I guess they said they had some kind of case going on. But I said, it's just very scary.
And he missed.
He missed?
Yeah, but yeah, that was on, yeah. And also that, what was that? Sorry. And you heard about the PHH mortgage, right?
No, what about that?
The PHH mortgage, you can go on your website. How they perpetrated a fraud, and it's in Columbia, Georgia, where a gentleman was awarded $21 million. And because of how they've been changing people's mortgages without their signatures, which is illegal.
Right.
And that's how they've been doing
it.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, PHH was the one. That's why all my stuff was jammed up. Because when they try to come after me, back in 2010, I'm the one who busted. I said, well, when did I take out a mortgage with you? And I said, I want to see a sworn affidavit. And next thing they said, they made a mistake. And they sent me a release, but it wasn't a mortgage release because there was nothing to release because there was not even a volume of page. And they don't even appear on it. And I said, that's what got all this mess going.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, has everybody seen the thing where the governor of Utah is kicking the feds out?
Yep.
Oh,
no.
That was very encouraging.
It is, isn't it? That's great. Let me see if I can find it. really short here. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, Governor of Utah to seize lands from federal government. Currently, the federal government lays claim to 64.5% of the lands in the state of Utah, much to the ire of both the people of Utah and their representatives. Both all that is about to change. After 3 years of federal government refusing to discuss the matter with the state government, Governor Gary Herbert is moving forward with plans to seize the 31.2 million acres of Utah land from the federal government and restore control of the lands to the people of Utah. The action is unprecedented. Pretty cool.
Did that post? I just posted an article about the Utah land grab where he's reconsidering going forward with the lawsuit because of the $14 million tab it's going to cost them to represent for the, you know, the lawyers' fees. It's posted on NLA, on Utah land grab.
Oh, there's no argument. Why do they need a lawyer?
Yeah, that's the way it should be, but that's not the way it works in their system.
What you have to do is, here's the people's land. It's there. Show them the paperwork and when it was taken.
It should be a couple of hours,
anybody from Utah on here? Maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, that would be good to get the Utah NLA members on that.
For sure.
Yeah, that's where the funeral is also for Roy Finicum.
Really?
It is?
I thought he was in Arizona.
I could be mistaken, but I thought it was Utah.
He is from Arizona, but the funeral is not there. It's
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, well, it's getting close to closing. Does anybody have anything else to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention something regarding Crystal's foreclosure. Don't leave. Let the sheriffs pack your things before anything. I had a friend who was being foreclosed on. The sheriff never came, and he ended up, packing his things a month after they were supposed to come. And he put a tenant in the place, and he's been collecting rent for about a year and a half now. They might not come and actually make that move. They may just be hoping that you move out. I don't know if that's, I know that's not always the case. But.
You know what they're doing here in Connecticut? Because I guess the letters have gone out, and people are on to them. And as a matter of fact, because I said I do know a lot of attorneys, and so they go, who put your case together? And I said, what's wrong with it? They said, it's an excellent job. He goes, well, I said, I did. They said, well, who's representing you? I said, me and Jehovah. You know? They, as a matter of fact, because I used to train the attorneys, the property appraisers, and the real estate people, you know, and working in the tax assessors, we had to know the laws of the land because we all work hand in hand together. And, and then some of them, they are a little like, they don't even want to get involved because they're a part of this whole scam.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, so it was actually a realtor, it was a realtor who came to the property on the day of the supposed eviction. The day that they were supposed to be kicked out of the house. A realtor came and asked for keys, and right after the realtor left, he decided to change his lock so the realtor wouldn't have access.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up, he was already packed to go, but he was waiting for the sheriff to help him move his furniture out the door, which never happened. And they ended up moving, like I said, about a month later and renting the place. But just wanted you to know that just in case.
I don't. Do you know another thing what they've been doing too? They're just taking the people. So, because Connecticut's a million-dollar state, Connecticut, New York, and New Jersey, you know, and they got all these people, and they're taking homes and clusters. And what they are doing is they're trying to evict people, and they leave the house empty for 6 months almost, right? And then they turn around and say, abandoned.
That's right.
On the records, they're not saying it's foreclosed on. They're saying the people abandoned their homes.
That's why they want you out, so they can do that.
Right, exactly. So that's something else I had picked up on what they've been doing.
And they call it abandoned.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, because a friend of mine, she lives across across the ways from me. And I told her, I said, don't move out your house. And when is this, November, October, January. She's been out there 3 or 4 months now, and nobody. And I said, I told her, I said, get back in your house. I said, they're going to do it. It's going to be abandoned.
That's right.
You know?
That's the whole plan.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But as I said, that's it. But I will definitely keep you abreast, and we will be going to court. Oh, one other thing, too. We went to court for a gentleman had a car accident, and they wanted to give him 2 to 6 years.
Yeah.
Hello?
I can hear you.
Okay, 2 to 6 years. So I went to court, and the attorney said, yeah, you got to sign it. That's the best offer you can do. I said, did anybody die in this accident? And he said, no. He goes, but the judge's going to give him 2 to 6 years. You better sign. And the guy was so upset, and he was shaking. I said, no, you're not going to accept that. So he goes, look, this is the best offer, because he can give up to 20 years. I said, listen to me. I said, Ivan, you walked in this court, and when I leave, you're going to walk out this court with me. You're not going to sign nothing and agree to nothing. You know, I said, the judge made you an offer you reject. Take it to trial. You know, he goes, you don't listen to her. Take it. It's 2 to 6 years. And he was sitting there shaking. He started. I said, you're okay. I said, take a deep breath. I said, when I walk out this court, you're walking out with me. It's over. So he goes, you can't leave this court. You got to sign. I said, we're leaving. I said, he's a diabetic, and we're leaving. I said, the judge said he wanted the decision. Tell him we do not accept. He goes, you're not. You can't speak in behalf. And I said, keep on walking. It's the only answer right now. So we walked out. And so he goes, well, you got another court date. So what happened? They changed the court date to, the, I guess, a week later or whatever to it was supposed to be like on the 8th, but they turned around and put it on the 4th. I said, we're going to go. Okay.
Sorry, I accidentally hit a button.
All right. So what happened? I said, don't worry about it. So I was checking around for an attorney, this and that. So we got an attorney. And I said, so I got 17 people. So when we all went to that court that next, it was 2 weeks ago. It was a week before mine. It was 17 of us in there, and I had everybody bring your notebook and a pad. We went in there, and the judge was shocked. And he asked, was there anybody here from the defendant side and stuff like that? He goes, I guess the end of February, whatever. And I said, and that's what we're going to do. I said, you know what? He didn't even come off his demeanor, his purse, everything. He was so calm, but he didn't know what was up. Because we packed that courthouse, and that's what I'm saying.
You guys are going on nearly 25 minutes with this conversation. I don't know if everybody's enjoying it, but we weren't going to talk about cases, but this is now going on ridiculous.
All right, that's all right. We need it. It's time to close down now. So
I was heading that way as well, but you know, courtroom observer stuff is becoming more and more important. And I strongly encourage, you know, the activity. So please, everybody, stick with it.
So that's what I was saying. That's what we were doing. Okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. All right. So I'm going to close down and say goodnight to everybody, and we'll be back on here next week.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.